Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen. Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two. Up to your number 13, my friend.
I, for my 13, have candy necklaces for my favorite 13th candy. The rumor
that
is
old school.
Oh, yeah. The rumor has it they were invented in Northern Europe. Before being introduced to the United States in the late 50s. And I don't know, it's just, because it's such a novelty, you know, you have a necklace, you can wear it, you can eat it. I'm sure the sugar all over your skin did nothing. Well, I don't imagine it would do anything horrible to your skin, except maybe attract flies. Other than that, I just thought they were cool. They were fun. They were a little bit on the sweet and sour side.
All they are is sugar.
Yeah. That won't attract any flies.
Hell no.
All right. What's your 13?
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Ribbon candy. Ribbon candy. Favorite thing at Christmas time. And for most people that don't know this, ribbon candy originated in Europe.
I can imagine.
Way before the United States was even around. It was originally used as a decoration.
No, like for Christmas trees or for mantles?
It was a Christmas decoration that was used around the house.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. In the 1800s, mechanical crimpers were finally invented to help make ribbon candy faster.
Oh, cool.
Let's see. Do I have any other... ribbon candy is a type of hard candy, which in North America mostly appears for sale around the Christmas holiday and comes in mint or citrus flavors, usually. So there you go.
Yeah, they're cool looking.
It is often used to used like decor, put out on display in candy dishes, plates, and apothecary jars.
Here, there you go.
Okay. So the thing about the ribbon candy is this. My grandfather's family immigrated here from Poland right in between the two wars. So yeah. they fled Europe after World War I, but really so there were a lot of old school traditions that happened in my family, you know, the pickle in the tree, the ribbon candy.
You'll have to explain the pickle in the tree some other time. I've never heard that one.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
that's an old German tradition. there is one pickle. It's made out of blown glass that is put in the tree. And when the kids come down, the first kid to find the pickle gets an extra gift.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes. Yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes. All right, sir. We are up to your number 12.
Ooh. Bit-O-Honeys. It's such a simple candy. You got some, it's not exactly caramel. It's not exactly butterscotch. It's not exactly nuts. It's that gray area in between all three of those flavors. And you can suck on them for a long time and eventually get to the point where you can chew them and they stick in the back of your teeth. And they first appeared in 1924. Made by the Shooter Johnson Company of Chicago. So that is my number 12 pick.
Ooh. I don't know if you can hear that when I do that, but
you're smacking your keyboard like it owes you rent.
Because if I move my mouse to something else, like I'm sorry, people, I'm producing the show, so I have to move my mouse off of the PowerPoint, and it doesn't like that.
Well, the hilarious thing is you're using PowerPoint to show all these pretty pictures on an audio podcast.
But I save all the videos, and at some point in time, when we have the money to fight all the lawsuits, I
will post. We're going to be rich and famous and on YouTube. Because everyone wants to see my fat, bald head on YouTube. It's the shit, let me tell you.
All right, my number 12 is the Zero Candy Bar.
I dig me some Zero bars, man, because I have always been a huge, huge white chocolate fan from like way back.
The first one was made in 1920. The candy bears a resemblance to the Snickers bar.
Yeah, more closer to the Mars bar if you look at it. The chocolate Mars bar with a white chocolate coating is a Zero bar.
Hershey's has taken over making the Zero bar.
Yeah, cool.
In October 2020, Link Neal and Rhett McLaughlin of Good Mythical Morning deemed the Zero Bar the worst candy in the world.
What? Screw those guys. I don't even know who they are, and they can kiss my big, hairy, white butt.
Some critics have deemed the bar as a white chocolate Snickers, even though the Zero Bar predicates the Snickers bar.
Yeah.
Screw those guys. 10 years.
A decade. Sounds longer.
It's nougat with almonds covered in chocolate fudge, and you're going to hear nougat and almonds later on today. It's coming. Trust me.
It's coming. Alrighty, where are we up to? Number 11?
11.
Ooh, I got Runtz. Remember Runtz?
Yeah, they were sour and they were hard.
Yeah, but you could like put 5 cents in a little thing, get a whole handful of them, and you had all sorts of different flavors like bananas. And yeah, you'd always eat like the nasty ones, like the bananas first. And they were shaped like bananas. That's what was kind of cool. You know, and then you add your green ones, you got rid of those next, and then you save like the oranges and the cherries for last. And I kind of got a soft spot in my heart for sour candies. Why I don't have Sour Patch Kids on here is beyond me, but Runtz are one of the Willy Wonka's early candies. It was first introduced to kids in 1982. And Willy Wonka the company is now owned by Nestle, unfortunately, which is kind of sad because they're a bunch of dicks. But anyway, that's a show upon itself.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Nestle used to own Ready Refresh, who was the people that delivered my water that won't let me quit the, yeah.
Yeah, well, they, you know, water is not a human right. It's a, yeah, whatever. They can kiss my, Okay. Anyhow. Ooh, good choice.
Look at that bad boy. Oh, Charleston Chew is a candy bar consisting of flavored nougat. Once again, nougat.
Once again,
my favorite.
Do we have a definition of nougat somewhere?
I do not. Not handy. I know that it's basically like taffy.
Family of confections made with sugar or honey, roasted nuts, whipped egg whites, and sometimes chopped candied fruit. The consistency of nougat is chewy and is used in a variety of candy bars and chocolate. Mm-hmm. The word nougat comes from the Occitan pan, nougat, seemingly from Latin panis noctus, nut bread. The late colloquial Latin adjective noctum, meaning nutted or nutty. All right, I'm done.
Okay, good. Charleston, it was created in 1925 by the Fox Cross Candy Company, founded by stage actor Donnelly Cross and his friend Charlie Fox.
Interesting.
The candy was named after the Charleston, a popular dance at that point in time. The company was purchased in 1957 by Nathan Sloan and later sold to Nabisco.
Hmm.
Although Sloan did not invent Charleston Chew, he did change the candy's original form, chocolate-covered vanilla nougat, to chocolate-covered vanilla nougat. In 1970s, he introduced a new flavor such as chocolate, strawberry. I think that was about it. Warner Lambert purchased Charleston's Chew from RJR Nabisco. And then Tootsie Roll Industries purchased it.
Oh, wow. Bring it back around to the Tootsie Roll.
The candy is available in vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
I don't think I've ever seen or tried a strawberry version of that.
Now, there are three other flavors, banana, grape, and cherry.
Oh. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I don't think that any of those sound...
Grape and chocolate? No.
I am all about the vanilla. I stick it in the freezer.
Maybe the chocolate. Maybe the chocolate, but yeah, the vanilla's got to be the best.
The vanilla is the best. I stick it in the freezer. Anybody who is a Charleston Chew fan knows once you've stuck it in the freezer for a day, all you have to do is take it out, smash it onto your countertop, and guess what? You have the best tasting chunks of nougat and chocolate there is.
What are we up to? Number 10?
We are on 10 already.
Far out, man. All right, my number 10 favorite, and forgive us all. This was supposed to be a top 10 list, and then we had said, screw this, we need 20. Number 10, the Chunky Bar. Do you remember the Chunky Bar?
I do.
Man, thick-ass chocolate. And they had, if I recall, different ones, like chunky.
They had it with almonds.
Raisins.
They had raisins,
peanuts.
It was kind of a versatile thing that they could do anything with.
Yeah.
But the original Chunky was just this big square of
honking chocolate bastard.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't a bar, guys. It was a square.
Yeah. Like Toblerone ain't got nothing on this bitch.
And I mean, you would bite into it if you had any sort of loose tooth that was about out. To come out. It was gone. We're done.
Yep. It was introduced in the late 30s by New York City candy maker Philip Silvershine.
Mm.
That's the only background I have on the chunky. But yeah, that was actually the chunky with the raisins was the shit, man. That, and I love chocolate covered raisins anyway. It's my favorite movie food, like Raisinettes. Favorite movie. And Raisinette. I don't have that on my how the hell I don't have that on my list of Beyond Me all of a sudden.
See, I was always the peanut goober guy.
Those are good. Those are good. Love but them. You know, the chocolate covered raisins, and some people hate them. I get it. But that was just, I don't know, that me and my mom would eat Raisinettes and watch movies like Star Wars and stuff. It was just good times.
I get the Sam's Club big container of chocolate covered raisins.
Oh.
Or Costco. Either one. Oh man. Mm. I love me some chocolate covered raisins. But damn. a chunky. It's a chunky. It's a chunky.
I've never heard of this candy, let alone tried it.
There is a store down the street from me that it's a Japanese food store, and I found,
son of a bitch,
I found this candy there. Not just this candy. There were two candies there that I got. I got this green tea chocolate truffles that were incredible, dude.
Like Pockies or something, or what?
It was like Pockies, but what these were little square truffles.
Interesting.
It was so good. It was called, what was it called? Milk something else. Milk reet or something like that. Anyways, they had this next to it, and this is called Milkita. And it is a milkshake candy. So it's milk-based. You can get it in strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, banana, and not kiwi, but honeydew.
Melon.
Yeah, it's honeydew melon.
Wait, what were those? America's had a candy like that. It was a like white and strawberry blend. Shit, what were those things, man? We had something like that in the States, but I bet these were the inspiration for that.
I'm sure it was. Here's how much information you can get about Milkitas. They are a product of Indonesia.
That's really incisive. Wow. And they're a good source of calcium, according to the...
I mean, they have a website which is based out of California. It does not tell you where they're manufactured. It doesn't tell you what's in them, anything like that. I bought a bag of the vanilla, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
The banana, which I died. That is to die for.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The chocolate is really good. But the honeydew.
The strawberry's got the honeydew?
Honeydew is not so.
But how's the strawberry?
Strawberry was okay.
Oh, man. I didn't think the strawberry would be the bomb.
Best. No, the best was the banana.
Wow. It's hard to get banana candies that taste good. Like
have you ever had Airheads banana flavored?
I've had Airheads, but I don't think I've ever heard the banana ones.
The banana flavored Airheads is exactly what this thing tasted like.
Really?
It was so good.
Because like banana Laffy Taffy is bad. What the hell else did they make a banana Twinkie at one point?
I think they did.
And that was not good.
No, it didn't make it.
Yeah.
Well,
no, it was not good. Yeah, it's hard getting artificial banana flavored to taste good.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, guess what?
What? What was that? Is it break time? Far out, man.
It is break time again.
What funky music are you going to play for us tonight, white boy?
Holy sheetoli. Holy sheetoli. I don't know what it is.
But we're going to listen anyway.
Because I have it behind the picture of you. I only have 3 miles. Oh!
Oh, her.
Have you ever played this for your daughters?
I can't imagine I haven't, but if I haven't, I'm going to make sure I have.
I just think that it would be interesting. You know, that should be a show that we do.
Like a reaction video show with guests?
Yes. Like we get your daughter to zoom in from Toledo and have Sam zoom in as well. And we do a dive into different music just to see their reactions.
I'm writing that shit down. Reaction videos with guests to old music. Fuck yeah.
You know what the cool part about that is that we actually can't get hit by a copyright strike if we're doing a reactionary video.
Cool.
So that would be something that we could actually post.
Yes. Although I have exposed my daughters to a lot of old school music, like Beatles, and like they would pop up with some pop song. I'd be like, oh, you want to hear the original? They're like, wait, what? There's an original? Yeah, watch here. Come here. And they'd listen to the original. They're like, wow, that's not bad.
Well, that's, you know, how many people didn't realize that the Everly Brothers did the song from
Top Gun?
It wasn't Top Gun. It was Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the guy from the Everly Brothers sang the song.
Yeah, but he didn't write it.
Oh, is Everly? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, forgot about that.
And it was redone year after year after year. Anyways, on that note, people, we're going to go take a break.
See you in a bit.
Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so I'm going to explain this now.
Oh, okay.
Have you, as your body gets older, have you noticed some interesting things like you could sit on the couch and because you farted so much when you get up, the entire couch just smells like shit?
Well, that's because it's not a fart. At my age, I take Jack Nicholson's advice. I never waste a boner. I never trust a fart.
Never trust a fart after 40.
Never.
Okay. So, I was explaining to Burke, I have to light some candles. Now, you know what else I've noticed? I've noticed in my old age that I have not lost my sense of humor. And other people have. Like, I'm trying to walk over to the bathroom. I'm walking by someone. I make sure that my asshole is right in their face as I'm walking by them. And I release. And I find that to be funny.
Hashtag drive by.
Hashtag drive by. Now, the problem with this is that the other people in the room do not find it to be as amusing as I do. I don't know.
Probably because it's 10 times worse the smell than it was 10 years ago.
God, I'm telling you, I got up off the couch and I was like, holy hell, Batman.
When you fart and you have to leave the room yourself, you know it's bad.
I really understand now why my mother-in-law buys Febreze in like the three packs instead of a single.
Anyway,
we're up to your number 9, my friend.
Oh, cool. Something I actually have a little bit of info about. My number 9 is Cracker Jacks.
God, that was never my favorite.
I'm a huge caramel guy. I love popcorn, and let's face it, when you get a prize, that's the shit. And when I was little, the prizes were fucking awesome, like little helicopters and I mean if you got a tattoo, you were pissed off, but like you get a little plastic toys and shit out of the, you were in like Flynn. I loved Cracker Jacks, and I mean I have always loved caramel corn in general. But if you can just go buy a box of that crap, pop it open, and the peanuts, oh, it was the bomb diggity.
I love caramel. Caramel is my favorite thing. I would eat caramel constantly. Mm-hmm. Two things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's three things in my life. There's caramel, nougat, and toffee.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, toffee. Holy cow. Wait a minute. I have info.
Oh!
In Chicago, there are two legends of how Cracker Jacks was originated. The older one attributes it to Charles Frederick Gunther, 1837 to 1920, also known as the Candy Man and the Cracker Jacks King. The other attributes it to Frederick William Ruckheim, a German immigrant known informally as Fritz, who sold popcorn at 113th 4th Avenue, which is now known as Federal Street, in Chicago, beginning in 1871.
Fritz
selling popcorn on the corner. The William Brinkmeyer, and who he brought his brother Louis from Germany. To join his, we're all about the German candy here. To join his venture, forming the company F.W. Ruckheim and Bro. In 1907, there was a song called Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which we all know. It was written by lyricist Jack Norworth and composed by Albert von Tilzer, which gave the Cracker Jack free publicity with its line, "Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks." And the Cracker Jack company freely gave out the rights because it just promoted their candy. In 1922, the name of the Chicago company was officially changed to the Cracker Jack Company. And that's all I got.
I can go now?
Yes. Oh, God damn. Good choice. Fuck. Why didn't I think of that one?
Malted milk balls.
Oh, man. That's like my third favorite candy when it comes to like Halloween. I love malted milk. I love malt. I love malted shakes. Like when I found out that you could go to like an A&W Ripper stand and get a milkshake and add malt to it.
Yes.
Oh, dude. It was just like a sugary chubby there. I was all in on that shit.
I'm going to give a little bit of history and then I'm going to explain how I got hooked on this. William Horlick, a native of England, settled in Racine, Wisconsin, where he experimented in the production of dried milk products. In 1887, he created malted milk powder.
Ooh, bless his heart.
A mixture that he hoped to market as a health food. Horlick's malted milk became popular as a sweetener for everything from infant formula to fountain drinks. In 1936, Forrest Mars created the first candy using the powder with a malted milk cover or milk centered covered with milk chocolate. The American version of the Mars Maltese was introduced by Overland Candy Company in 1939. It goes on. The Chicago Biscuit Company ended up owning it. The Leaf Gum, then Leaf Machinery. It went on for a while. Whoppers.
Many
name changes. Now, I'm going to explain my love for this. My father grew up in Medina, Ohio. I was third generation Medina. His dad grew up there. My dad grew up there. And I grew up there. There was a place called Happy Days on the square. And what it was, it's where the Main Street Cafe is now.
Okay.
Anyways, Happy Days was a jerk shop. It was an old fashioned ice cream and soda shop.
Nice.
And so when, as I was growing up, my father would take me to the shop, and we would get malted milkshakes.
Okay, wait. Please tell me, for the love of God, that they would serve it in the metal cup and the glass.
They did.
Oh, it's the best. Like, you finish your milkshake out of the glass and you had more in the metal cup. Oh God, that was so good.
It was an old fashioned place. My father would tell us the stories of him growing up in Medina, which made Medina, that I think that's why Medina is as important to me as it is.
It makes it a little larger than life at that point when dad's telling you stories from the old days.
I remember.
And you're a big history buff anyway.
I remember one of the days that my father and I went and got chocolate malts. We got them to go. And we went down to the administration building. What's the administration building now in Medina? And at the time that my father was growing up, that was the high school.
Oh, okay.
The shop class was down in the basement. And my father, as well as, it's going to come to me. Mm-hmm. It's gonna come to me.
It was uncle?
No. He had a couple of friends.
Okay.
He had Jim. What was Jim's last name? I can't remember Jim's last name. But he also had another friend of his in shop class whose daughter I went to high school with.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up being like a guy on the school national or on the Medina City School Board and all that stuff. Anyways, we go and I hear this whole story while I'm drinking my malted milkshake about how they made a crossbow in shop class. And I was like, Dad, that couldn't be. I mean, they wouldn't let you do that.
They would let you do that back then.
Well, here, come down this hallway. So he takes me down this hallway and he points at the cinder block wall. And I said, well, what's that? He said, well, you see that hole in the cinder block? I said, yeah. He said, that's where the crossbow bolt went through. He was like, go ahead and look through that. And I looked through and there's a bunch of files in this room. He goes, that used to be the shop. So I fell in love with this malted milk thing that nobody else made malted milk. I mean, Skyway maybe.
Well, A&W.
A&W.
But you had to ask, like, it was not like listed. You had to ask for it.
So
it was like a secret menu item.
It was kind of one of the little things that my father and I had, because my mother hated malted anything. it was just something that my father and I would go and do together, so it's always been a favorite. Anyways, we're on your number 8, my friend.
Real simple, real easy, real quick. Now and laters. Not exactly taffy, harder than taffy,
mm-hmm.
but really intense flavors. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, going to the store and picking those up and just, and all the flavors were really good. Like even if it was banana or whatever, all the flavors were really, really good. They were created in Brooklyn, New York in 1962 by the Phoenix Candy Company. Just got, I don't know, not like intense memories, just really good memories of, you know, I would go and that was kind of a go-to candy back in the day.
Now, the now and later, I actually loved it when I was a kid.
Okay.
As I got older, I got to the point of hating it as much as I hate the Werther's originals.
Hmm.
Now, I loved the flavor.
Yeah.
I loved the flavor. But when you pop a $2,000 crown off of your tooth because it's stuck chewing to the on now later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like a Starburst is such a great candy. It's not on my list, but they're much more forgiving to your teeth than now and laters. But now and laters just got a little spot in my heart back in the day. So, okay, that's my number 8.
This is a favorite of mine because my grandmother.
Okay.
She loved the Jujubes.
Okay.
And for anyone that knows, Jujubes are a gumdrop. The Jujubes are manufactured by guess who?
Ferrara Pan.
You got it. You
they're an old company. I mean, they're like back in the day, man. They got a lot of candy on their list.
They have produced Jujubes since 1920. The first gumdrop to ever appeared in the United States in 1801.
Holy crap. No clue. Okay.
Yeah, I had no clue that they were this old. And I was sitting here doing research on this because I'm a huge gummy bear freak.
Oh god, yeah.
Do you know what they used early on to kind of conglomerate the sugar together?
I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark and say horse hooves.
Potato starch.
Well, that's much nicer. Okay. I feel better.
I'm almost not. Yeah, I'm a little bit freaked out at your answer now.
Well, it's what they make glue out of, I mean, you know. And gelatin used to be like fucking horse hooves. So,
well, you know, they did use gelatin as well, but yeah. But potato starch was the first thing what did they call them? Pastiary candies.
Okay. I never been a huge Gundrop fan, and probably because probably the first Gundrop I ever was given was the black one, which is generally
licorice,
anise. Yeah. And I fucking loathe anything. I can't even drink ouzo. Nothing from that family of flavors. It just makes me wretch. I hate it. And the cherries were not cherry enough, and the oranges were not orange. They're like, to me, they're meh. But I probably have a really bad influence from the original black Gundrops.
I love Gundrops. Now, you mentioned something. You mentioned the black. Hang on a second. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Svetlana, come over here. So Sveti is from Finland.
Yeah.
And she's actually from Russia, but we're not allowed to say that anymore because of
there's a lot. Okay. A little background on the Russian whole thing. Like the couple of Russian vodkas that you come to mind, Stolies and whatever, those were people that got kicked out of Russia. It's okay to like Stoli vodka. They got kicked out of Russia. It's okay. Unless it actually says Russian vodka, it's okay to drink.
Okay. Now you brought up the anise flavored. Kristen went Sveti. Went to Finland, what, the second year that we were married? Something like that. She came back home with this candy. And I now understand why Russia has never invaded again Finland, because their food sucks. What was this candy called?
Salmonaki.
Is it Salmonaki? Fish flavored?
Which is black licorice with salt.
Oh.
And this is their candy.
Like that intensifies the flavor.
No. Never.
I'd rather go salmon flavored candy than that. Oh dear God.
Never marry a Russian.
Except for the vodka and the yeah. Okay.
Number seven, my friend.
It's me? Oh God. I like this one. It is Pez candy. And half of it is not the candy, it's the dispensers.
Damn, I wish I would have put that on my thing.
Dude, it was invented in Vienna, Austria by a guy named Eduard Haas III as an alternative to smoking. Edward. This was a smoking sustain. Eduard. Well, it's E-D-U-A-R-D, Eduard. It's like smoking cessation, supposedly. The name Pez comes from the German word for peppermint, which is Pfefferminz. So you get the P, the E, and the Z from the beginning, middle, and end of the word. 1961. Oh, okay. Take a guess as to the most expensive Pez dispenser on the market today. Or not even what it is. Just guess a price. Guess a dollar amount.
$4,000.
Between $12,000 and $15,000. There was a red donkey head Pez dispenser made. Only three of them were ever made. One was specifically given to John F. Kennedy. So there are two in the market. They have no idea if they actually found the JFK one, what it would be worth. The other two are worth between 12 and 15 grand.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for a fucking candy dispenser. I mean, a lot of them go for like $3,000 and $4,000 just because they're like,
dude, the candy's not even that good.
No, it's not. But it was the experience. Like, you get to load it, pop it, eat it. You had the cool dispenser. You could buy different. It's like buying an iPhone. Like, you unbox it and it's got all this cool stuff. And you peel the tape off. It's kind of the same gig.
I have an iPhone.
I know.
Anyways, on that note.
But I've never heard of this one, but it looks great.
Big Hunk is a candy bar made by Annabelle Candy Company. It was first introduced in the 1950s in the United States. It is a bar of roasted peanuts in chewy honey sweetened nougat.
Oh god, that sounds phenomenal.
It was featured in Steve Allman's book Candy Freak.
It sounds like something that would rip the fillings out of your teeth in a heartbeat.
Big Hunk was acquired by Annabelle Candy Company when the company purchased Golden Nugget Candy Company in 1970. This, my dear friend, was given to me by a lady named Maggie Hayden. And I'm trying to think of what show we were doing. We did a show for Lyric Stage. Hey, Kristen, what show did we get the Big Hunks from? Maggie gave it to us for what? Which show?
Bye bye birdie.
I think you never called her Kristen anymore.
Normally I don't. I just say, hey, bitch.
I'm waiting for her hand to appear out of the background and smack you upside the head.
So, yep, there it is. Low fat, gluten free.
Really?
Nougat love.
Where do you find this?
Bob, I just called you Bob. Bob. Burke. This bar is like this big. It's massive. Shit. It's fucking massive. It's almost a foot long.
It's like a fucking ruler.
Yeah. It's I get it at the Exxon station.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that ever. But it sounds awesome.
It's freaking awesome, dude.
Cool. This is nice. We're learning about shit. I like this.
Yeah, this buddy. Like
broadening our horizons. All right, number six. Oh, and I love this bar. It was originally called the $100,000 bar, and then rebranded.
Oh, as the rice. 100
grand bar.
Yes, the rice.
It was tied in with the quiz show of the 1950s. There was a show that the prize was $100,000. Nestle came up with this idea based around those programs. The Big Surprise was the name of the show, which the grand prize was $100,000. But
the $100,000 pyramid show.
Yeah. But yeah, oh, dude, chocolate, caramel, and rice. Oh, dude, just
and the just rice heaven. Was just, the rice was deep fried, so
yeah,
so crispy, it was like hollow,
forever crispy.
Oh my god! Oh,
just yeah, it, like I imagine they would be good frozen, but damn, when they were warm, holy crap, were they good? Oh my god, I would save up pennies to buy those damn candy bars at the store sometimes just because they were so good. Okay.
All right. Well, I just got a little bit upset because I realized that I didn't put something in my list that I had planned on putting there the whole time because it is one of my favorite candies, and somehow I left it out. Anyways,
we'll hit it at the end. It'll be a runner up.
My number six is Lindt Lindor Truffles.
Oh, damn, that's a good fucking choice. Holy cow.
This is actually a chocolatier that I want to visit this factory.
That and Cadbury.
The
fuck, why is that not on my list? God damn it. Okay, whatever.
Well, Cadbury's factory in England is one of the oldest chocolatiers in the country, in the world.
Dude.
But
okay.
Lindt Sprungli chocolatier was founded in 1845.
Oh my God, I had no clue.
It's based in Bern, Switzerland.
That's so, never a bad thing for chocolate. Holy cow. Wait. I have to ask my only, I believe that Calibo chocolate, which is like the pinnacle of chocolate, I believe that is a Swiss chocolate, if I'm not mistaken.
I do believe it is. I mean, that would be a question for Nancy, but
yeah. I'm kind of sure of that answer, but okay, go ahead, please.
Lindt in 1994. Okay, this company did not change from 1845 all the way until 1994.
Wow.
Throughout the World War, they gave free chocolate away.
Oh, wow.
To any country who asked for it. So, let's see here. In 1994, Lindt and Sprungli acquired the Austrian chocolatier Hofbrauer Austrick and integrated it into their company as well.
Yeah, Austrian chocolate, not bad either. Holy cow.
Not bad at all. That put So in 1994, they expanded a lot. They also took over the Italian chocolatier Caffarel and the American chocolatier Ghirardelli.
Oh, shit, man. Ghirardelli's the bomb, too. God damn.
On the 14th of July of 2014, Lindt bought Russell Stover and Whitman.
Holy shit. They like took over every.
They are.
How do you put that? That's like.
They are the largest chocolatier besides Hershey's.
Oh my God. Yeah, their stuff is outstanding.
So here's the thing about the Lindor. These are a truffle. And there are, I think it was 9 different flavors. And there's certain flavors that you can only get on their website. Oh, so you have to pay individually for it. I think it said that you could purchase, I think it was 300 truffles for $120.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I was like,
at all.
You've got to be kidding me.
But what are you gonna do with 300 fucking truffles? Jesus Christ.
The Lindt chocolate, I will say Kristen is the one that got me hooked on this. When we first met, she was like, oh, you gotta go try this chocolate. And I had never had a truffle before. I was like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Those are like, I will find those A little backup. I've kind of been in charge of the girls' Christmas stockings for many years. And if I can ever find lint, because they usually give you like a 2-pack of truffles, which is perfect for putting into a stocking. I always try and find those because they are just so outstanding. Alrighty then. Number five. Yes. Okay. Kind of going back to one of my earlier ones, but these are Red Hots, the tiny little dotty
little freaking Red Hots.
Oh yeah. Another Ferrara pan, created in the 1930s. They created the famous Red Hots using the cold pan candy method, which is where you put a centerpiece into a tumbler and you tumble it and you add stuff that adds the candy coating on top. And it's another one of those cinnamon, a little bit of hot. But, oh, dude, I could kill off a box because they're soft. Just a little bit of crunch and soft and cinnamon and hot. And it's just a really all around good candy. I don't know how to explain it, but I destroyed thousands of Red Hots in my lifetime. They're just so, so good.
What?
All right. That's my number five.
Uh-oh.
Wait 10 seconds. 10, 9. Oh, that was quick.
This is the best gummy bear in the world.
I have heard of these.
Albanese gummy bears. I buy them in 5-pound bags. They cost me $12 on Amazon.
And they're worth every goddamn penny.
You open that bag and all you smell is freaking fruit for like 10 minutes. Like, damn. Albanese Candy is a candy manufacturer in Maryville, Indiana, founded in 1983 by Scott Albanese.
Really?
It specializes in the production of gummies and chocolate covered goods. The company employs roughly 450 workers and ships to 41 countries. It is said to be the home of the world's best gummy bears. And I will tell you right now, I thoroughly agree with them on this.
These are the Jelly Bellies of gummy bears.
These are. Now, let me tell you, here are your flavors. You got wild cherry.
You could just stop at pineapple.
Blue raspberry, green apple, grape, light blue watermelon, mango, orange creamsicle, orange gummy bears, pineapple, pink.
Yeah, you're done at pineapple. The pineapple, pink, the pinnacle of pink, gummy bears.
The pink grapefruit.
Oh, fuck.
Is to fucking die for.
Oh, goddamn, that sounds good.
Strawberry and white strawberry. Now, the white strawberry is an interesting flavor because they triple up the flavor of the strawberry in it.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's so damn good.
Okay. I have a task for you.
Okay.
You must go on to Amazon and look up Haribo sugar-free gummy bears and read the reviews.
Okay. Now, I'm going to
leave it at that. And the next time we do a podcast, I want your reactions. And you can sort by the most popular or the biggest, whatever. Read those and come back and...
Now, let me explain this. When I worked at the Irving Arts Center with Lyric Stage, Maggie Hayden was our production stage manager, and I would do whatever I need to do. Every show we did, we would bring gummy bears. We've done the Haribos. We've done the Haribo sugar-free. We've done the Albanys. We've done the Albany sugar-free. We have, that was how I ended up finding Albanys, was trying to find the best gummy bear to take to the Lyric stage. Now, the Albanys, the first time I took it to Lyric stage, we were doing the show 1776. And one of the guys, Bryant, who played Thomas Jefferson, he has one note that's like a really, really high note. If he hit that note, he was allowed to come get a gummy bear.
That was your treat. That was your...
That was our thing. Oh, no!
Keep it calm. It's break time.
It must be break time again, which means that I have to play
Drain the Vein.
Well, definitely gonna do that,
but
there's a Kate Bush song that I gotta play.
Ooh.
It lay there.
That's a deep cut. I like this one, man.
Have you not heard this one?
I have, but it's been 30 years.
Guys, we're going to take a break.
We'll be back.
We'll keep listening to this, but you won't.
Man, that's such good stuff. Holy cow.
Ah, my honey child.
Ah, I love Kate.
I am trying my darndest to get her to come on for the night to do about a half an hour interview with us.
Dude, 5 minutes. That's all I ask.
I don't know if she's harder to get a hold of or if Midger is. He's been virtually impossible to get a hold of. Peter Gabriel's people were very easy to get a hold of, and their answer was fuck no.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of expected.
All right. We are up to Burke's number four. This is the final four. It's the final four.
They're all good. I like these. My number four is Lemonheads. Yet another Salvatore Ferrara concoction.
Man, you have really been into these candy coated shindigs. I was always into M&M's.
Love me M&M's. Sour candies were kind of my jam for a long, long time. But yeah, dude, Lemonheads. I just have a lot of really good memories of theater and Lemonheads. Lemonheads as a kid. And I love the story behind this one. The inspiration for the lemon head came from Salvatore Ferrara after seeing his grandson, Salvatore II, being delivered. And he was a forceps baby. So they had to like grab forceps, pull him out. And he noted that his new grandson's head was lemon shaped.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
How fucked up is that? Same cold pan process as the Red Hots that were developed in 1962. But now, dude, I love lemon, and I love sour, and I love hard candies. So yeah, Lemonheads were just always good stuff. And like I said, a lot of good theater memories. Like, we had those at Coach House, sitting around all the time, and just just good memories. So that's it.
Here, let me try that again.
Boom. We'll do the sound effects. Mally's. Oh fuck! I never even thought about those, man.
All right. Because of the fact that our listeners are about to see a theme happen over the next 10 minutes. Mally's Chocolates. Mally's Chocolates is based in Cleveland. My number four is the Buckeye, which is a chocolate covered peanut ball. Mally's Chocolates, a company history. It is a family affair since 1935. It was the height of the Great Depression. Albert Mally aspired to achieve his version of the American dream, to own his own chocolate making business. He was a boy from Meadville, Pennsylvania. He worked in a chocolate store learning how to create handmade chocolates. As a young husband and father, he borrowed $500, rented a small store and living quarters at Lewis Drive and Madison Avenue in Lakewood, Ohio. He moved his family into the back room. He purchased materials and started to make chocolate and ice cream. By 1949, the second Mally's ice cream parlor and chocolate store opened at Victoria and Madison Avenues, notable for the first all-aluminum retail store in America.
Ooh.
On opening night, the Lakewood police had to be called in to control crowds. The store was remodeled in 1994, and it seats up to 100 people. Mike's son Bill grew up working the business. Working in the business, in charge of opening new stores, Bill continued to expand the company with the opening of the third store in North Olmsted on Clegg and Lorraine Road. He installed a slow revolving merry-go-round with ice cream parlor tables.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
In 1967, Bill became the president of Mally's Chocolates, and blah, 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 blah. Let's get to where they are now. Here's the thing. They have their main building is on Brook Park Boulevard. Mally's Chocolates. Mally's Chocolates is probably the biggest thing that I have to remember my grandparents. They lived on West 173rd Street in Cleveland. My grandfather every year would go buy Mally's Chocolates for Easter. He'd buy it for Christmas. He'd buy it for whatever. The Buckeyes I didn't learn about the Buckeyes from my grandmother or grandfather, but I fell in love with these Buckeyes. The peanut butter is just extra thick. It is so good. And the chocolate, Mally's Chocolate, is incredible.
It is very, very, very smooth, very good.
Very smooth, very good. Their dark chocolate is bitter to the point of of not being too bitter, but yet it's not sweet.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Now,
anyways,
the supposedly, nobody really knows who invented Buckeyes. Sometime in the 1960s, supposedly a lady named Gail Tabor invented them while trying to dip peanut butter balls into chocolate, but nobody knows for sure. So, all righty, what are we up to? Oh, number three. Oh, I love this one. And this is a pretty modern candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the list goes the Whatchamacallit bar.
Hey, that's a great name.
It's a great name, but we were talking about Rice Krispies being deep fried. You got that in this. Caramel, you got this in this. Good chocolate, you got this in it. When they first came out, I was enamored with these damn things. I would spend every dime I could get these things. It was first introduced in 1978. The name itself was devised by a lady named Sally Grayson. She was a writer for Stuffed, Adventures in the Restaurant Family. And she was an associate creative director at Doyle, Dane, and Birnbach, who was in charge of the new brands for the Hershey's accounts. Mm. So she came up with this like cool name for this new candy bar. I mean, but it just, there's only so many candy combinations out there, but crunchy Rice Krispies and caramel and chocolate.
Hey, that seems to be a theme.
It's a big theme with us in this whole program. See, I love those damn things. Okay, that's all I got.
All right. Okay, so my next one. This is so hard. It's the venue as well as what it is.
Fair enough.
And so I never had saltwater taffy until we did a road trip. My father decided that it was smart to take our big ass minivan with the super engine. Actually, no, it was the first minivan that we had, which had the little engine.
We
decided that it was smart to take our entire family from Medina, Ohio to Boise, Idaho.
Because, you know, when you think of vacation destinations, Boise is the top of my head right there.
Now, our first stop was at a place called Stuckey's. And if anyone remembers Stuckey's was a gas station.
Yeah.
Was all the way across the country.
They were everywhere.
It was the best place to pick up souvenirs. It was the best place to pick up candy.
They had good restaurants.
They had good restaurants. They had good food, and they were all over the country. Well, my mother had enough of us, so she bought 4 boxes of saltwater taffy.
Knowing full well would shut you up.
Oh, she knew. She knew the end result was going to be
quiet.
Kids would have stuff in their mouth, and it's sticky, so nobody can talk, and it's going to be a great trip. Secondly, she knew that sugar high
would put you out.
Yeah. So anyways, let me tell you a little history about Stuckey's. In the beginning, it all started with a borrowed truck and $35.
Oh, wow.
That was how he started his first store. W.S. Sylvester Stuckey Sr. founded Stuckey's as a roadside pecan stand. along Highway 23 in Eastman, Georgia in 1937.
Oh, wow.
He bought pecan. Now, this was besides the saltwater taffy, this was one of their iconic things that they sold, which was pecan praline.
Ooh, oh, God.
And their iconic pecan log roll, which it was to die for. Now, I fell in love with the taffy. The taffy was incredibly good. They originally they pulled the taffy themselves in their store. Then, of course, in the 70s, they outsourced everything.
Yeah.
So forth. But anyways, it was always throughout my life, if we went on a road trip, the first stop that we would make would be Stuckey's. The second stop that we would make, I don't remember because I was in a sugar coma.
It was whatever.
The flavors, strawberry, orange, blueberry, lime, and lemon. That's it. Nothing special.
The lemon was pretty damn good, though.
Oh, the lemon was so good. But the lime was good. I loved how tart it was.
Which is weird for lime, because usually they fuck up lime, but that stuff was, yeah, it was excellent.
Usually, if lime is in a candy, they make it too sweet.
Too artificial.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my number three.
Number two on my list. And damn, I killed a bunch of these things off. Altoids. And we talked about this, I think, for a hot second.
We did. Yeah. On the phone.
Yeah.
I told you, I have cans of them all over my house.
Oh, yeah.
They're curiously strong.
They also made a sour fruit version that was fucking killer. Oh, my God. It was so good. You know, me and sour. But, yeah, metal tins. The brand was created by the London-based company Smith & Company in the 1780s. It became part of the Callard and Bowser company in the 19th century. So they've been around for a hot damn second. These things, and it was weird because they came to the Americas kind of late. I mean, I think it was after college that I first saw them. But like, the people in the know in like theater, if they had to do a kissing scene, they would have these things and they would chomp down on one of these before they had to kiss somebody because it would just kill any mouth odor whatsoever. They were so, I mean, like make your eyes water sometimes.
Man, they're so strong. They're not strong like that anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
Ah, that sucks, man. Because no. They were, I mean, like your eyes would water if you chomped down on those damn things.
They are pussified now because I remember doing some scenes. And it was like, okay, I need to chomp on this. So yeah. I'd put like three in. That was stupid.
Yeah, they kick your ass.
The only thing that was stronger would be like a peppermint extract straight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
good stuff. But the sour ones, oh, Christ. The sour ones they had for a couple of years were so good. Oh, my God.
I like the orange. Mm-hmm. They had this orange flavored that I was like, oh
man. No, it was tangerine.
That's what it was.
Oh, my God.
I knew it was a citrus flavor.
Oh, God damn. It was that tangerine was kick ass. Oh,
it was
God.
Extremely good because it was, it the flavor was killer. Sweet.
Yeah.
It was more sour than sweet. I don't know. The flavor was great, and if you did a kissing scene after doing it, women loved you because you taste like oranges.
Yeah.
Scott's number two. I'm back to Mally's.
Not a horrible place to be.
This is Mally's Mally O's. Now, have you ever had these?
No, I've had something close.
It is a chocolate covered Oreo.
Oreo actually has a white chocolate covered Oreo.
Yes, this is this is a milk chocolate covered Oreo.
Yeah, but Mally's milk chocolate is the bomb. So putting those over Oreos would be the shit. I've never had those, but now I want them.
I can't remember off the top of my head if they have it, but I think they also have a dark chocolate version of this.
Okay. You know what? That just reminded me of something. And I think Mally's actually did these. Did they ever do chocolate covered potato chips, like chocolate covered Ripple potato
chip? No. What they do for St. Patrick's Day, they do a chocolate covered pickle.
I want to try it. I don't care how bad that sounds. I want to try it.
I had it about 4 years ago, and I will tell you this. It is the most delectable thing you will ever eat. It is a great pickle. Now, the pickles are made in Cleveland by a Cleveland-based company.
Oh. Wait, is it a dill or like a sweet and sour?
It's a dill with this
really
with this sweet milk chocolate over it. You would think that it would be disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's freaking incredible because the sour of the dill and vinegar.
Sweet and salty, sweet and sour always goes well.
It is to die for. You would love it. You with your sour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Love it. All right.
Down.
We're up to Burke's number one.
Number one. All right. A little bit of background on this one. The number one in my list is specifically Cherry Lifesavers. I love me some Lifesavers. I love me peppermint.
Out of everything there is in the world.
Okay, look. Wintergreen Lifesavers are excellent. Like before Altoids were ever out, that was the go-to. Peppermint Lifesavers are the bomb. And they were another go-to. When they introduced the fruit flavors, they had the five flavor mix. The orange was great. The lemon was good. The cherry was awesome. The lime was so-so. But you could get just Cherry Lifesavers only. And they were so good and intense. They were first created in 1912 by a guy named Clarence Crane in Garrettsville, Ohio. Yay, us. His father was a famed poet named Hart Crane. Clarence had switched from the maple sugar business to chocolates the year before, but they found, once again, chocolates performed poorly in the summertime because they didn't have good refrigeration back then. So they switched to these Cherry Lifesavers. Now, the thing that really endears this to me is my grandparents. My grandmother and grandfather met on a train. My grandfather obviously was a little bit smitten by this lovely lady, and she was a little bit smitten by this guy in a Navy outfit on a train going to war. And she fed him Cherry Lifesavers to keep him engaged in this conversation. My grandfather later in life admitted to us, he hated with a passion, hated cherry lifesavers, and ate every damn one of those candies that she fed him because he wanted to keep talking to her. So there's a love story behind the candy, and I just love the candy anyway. So yeah, cherry lifesavers are my absolute number one favorite candy. I will go buy a pack probably in the next week because I haven't thought about them in years. So yeah.
I haven't thought about the veneer.
Sir, what is your number one?
You're waiting. You're waiting with anticipation, aren't you?
I'm waiting with new eggs.
I put a freaking pause in there so that he had to wait.
That was brilliant. I see a theme here. Okay, I'm confused. What are the... Oh.
This is Mallee's Bordeaux. Oh. Now, this is a toffee, a chocolate-covered toffee with hazelnut shavings.
It says chopped almonds in that picture, but I will go either way.
Oh,
holy
Sorry, it's chopped almonds. It's a dust. It's literally a dust over it. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. We moved here 21 years ago, and Kristen worked at a place called Shelton School, which was a school for challenged rich people.
Okay.
And when I say challenged rich people, I basically mean rich people that don't want to have to do any work. So anyway,
I don't want to have to raise my own children. You do it for me.
Anyways, one of the ladies that we met sent us some chocolates. I did not know this at the time. She was originally from Cleveland. And she sent out Mallee's Bordeaux's for a Christmas gift. I bit into that and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. $25 a pound.
And worth twice that much.
I have to be real careful now. I, for Easter, bought $100 worth of Mallee's. Shit, she heard it. She heard me. Huh? I didn't hear you. I had my ears in. Fuck.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Yeah, she'll taste it and she'll love you anyway. It's all right.
Yeah, there's some Bordeaux in there.
I'll tell you what. I'm trying to figure out why, like, butter brickle or toffee did not make it my list because... Oh, well, dude, I can do damage. Butter brickle and toffee. Holy crap.
I did tell you that there were things that were on my list that didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot more. I mean, we could have done 30 or 40 easily.
One of the things that didn't make it was Brock's Royals.
Ooh, yeah.
You and I had talked earlier tonight. Yeah, caramels are one of my
weak points.
Yeah. So the Brock's Royals, I mean, that was something that Grandma had in a bowl every Christmas. She would splurge and go buy a bag of Brock's Royals. Mm. And we would get yelled at if we ate too many of them because they were expensive, you know.
Yeah. How about Score candy bar?
Oh, Score was good too. How about Toffee Vey?
Oh shit, I forgot about that. Oh god damn. Yeah. Oh, those were good too. All right. Yeah, there's so many more. But anyway,
there are just way too many of them for us to name them all.
We could come revisit this list another day.
You know, at some point in time, we will have to.
We'll do a part two.
Let's see here. Hey, look, I found it.
Hey, and it started on time.
I still sped it up because
it's really fucking like it hilarious.
Yeah, that's about it for this show, I think.
Yep.
You got that's anything going on that we need to know about before we?
No, I think I'm good, man.
Hey, the next show after this, guys, is the top castles to go visit.
Yes.
I don't know how that one's gonna go yet, but
we'll find out shortly.
Yeah, could be fun, could be bad. All right, could everyone. We're out of here.
Have a good night, everybody.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.